Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. with the exception of today. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful, we're bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the Word of God. Even if you don't understand the order that God has given, if you don't understand the instructions that the pastor has given, you don't understand the instructions after you've read the Word of God, but you know what to do, but you don't get how it fits into your situation, it's still the best way to face opposition is by complete obedience to the Word of God. I want to remind you that the dates are fastly approaching May 30th, 31st, June 1st, and we'll be celebrating a SoCal Pentecost service for 2024. And we'll be consecrating during this time, May 1st through the 30th. We're going to be consecrating. Yes, that means that we're going to be setting some things aside. And in this instance, this consecration will consist of no meat, fried, baked, broiled, barbecued, raw, however you've been eating. No meat. Nope. So that means you can fix a whole meal. Just don't add meat to it. That's the consecration. The people of Nineveh wanted God's attention. And so they entreated him with fasting. Everyone, even the animals, did not eat because they wanted God's mercy. They wanted God to forgive. They wanted the Lord to be entreated by them. You ought to want the Lord to be entreated by you. There are situations in all of our lives that are going on. Everybody can make a list of things that they want changed or things they would like to see done. You know, let's seek the Lord. During our consecration, we're not asking the Lord to give us money. We're not asking for a home or land. And I'm going to touch on that prior to the consecration. I'm really going to touch on that so that you have a good understanding of why we're consecrating and what it means. Well, I think you have a good understanding, but the impact that it has. All right. So let's gear our minds. I mean, that's almost a month away. That we're going to start this consecration and seeking the Lord that he has his way in the service. Now, I want, you want God's attention. Let me go here for a moment. You're going to have to do more than nod your head, say amen, you know, and you're going to have to do more than that. And so that goes back to what I said earlier as obedience. I want to remind everybody, keep your eyes on the east. Keep your eyes on the east gate. God's word is fulfilling, and many churchgoers are going to be caught off guard. Many, many people are going to be caught off guard. The Bible said, few there be saved. People are going to be caught off guard, and you don't want to be one of them. I'm praying, Lord, I don't want to be caught off guard. I'm seeking the Lord. As a pastor, I'm not just praying for the people. I'm praying for myself, too. If there's anything in my life that's not according to your will, if I did something unknowingly and that was offensive to you, I want God to forgive me for that. But I've got to acknowledge those things. And just like you do, because sometimes we could do something and not think about what we're doing and our actions could be offensive, even to another person. And so we need to be real about this and our soul salvation. And I'm just for real because I'm terrified. I fear of being lost. I don't want to be lost. And I believe that you are the same. I don't think you want to be lost either. I'm sure you don't. And so let's just keep things real. Let's keep it real. Let's not make the psalmist said, Lord, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Presumption is where we give ourselves permission to do things and then we don't count it as sin. But you ought to be thinking, if I do this, is it right or is it wrong? Was I told or was I instructed what to do and then I ignored it? All right. Many are going to be caught off guard. The word of God is fulfilling, and people are so caught up in different things. And in America, they're caught up in the election. They're caught up in, they're distracted. It don't allow stuff to distract you. People are distracted. They're distracted by social media. They're distracted by, you know, Paul came to a place, it was called Antioch. And while he was there, he ran across people that was just anxious to hear something new. I think about that for a moment. Isn't that the same as what's going on around you today? People are anxious to hear something new. You know, it used to be MySpace. It was Snaps. It was this. It was that. And then it went to, you know, you can go down the list and add the social media and everybody jumps over to it immediately. Anxious to see and hear something new. It doesn't mean it's wholesome. It doesn't mean it's good for you. After a while through, you done swipe 10, 20 times, and now 30 minutes, an hour has gone by. And where has the time gone? What have you done that was productive? Did you benefit from any of that? Did you benefit from any of it? Some people have gotten low grades because they were too busy. Some have got caught at work and got reprimanded. And others have just forgot about their personal devotion because they were so into what they were trying to find, something new. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything just may have a different, instead of it being red, it's now painted green. Instead of it being green, it's painted blue. Instead of it being blue, it's painted pink. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Now, with God, God can show you something new. I was sharing with someone where the Lord took metal and changed the color of it. And I took a picture of it. And at the time I took the picture, I didn't know. But someone else who received the picture saw it. And when we examined it, we saw what had occurred. God is able to take even the metallic things. All right. Don't get caught off guard. The Lord is coming. He's coming. He's returning for those that are looking for his return. Those wise, you got to be wise, like the 50% who took extra. And please note that extra oil requires extra work. Extra oil requires extra work. Now, Bible students, I think you may understand and know where I'm coming from with that. He's coming back for those that has taken Matthew's 5 and 20 seriously. Yes, Matthew's 5 and 20. Meaning that you're operating in the spirit of excellence instead of a lackadaisical attitude, being dismissive, no zeal, no movement to get the kingdom work done. Note that he is coming. The Lord is coming. I'm requesting your prayers this morning. The reason that we are in such an early time, and I like this time too, is that I'm on my way to meet with family members, and then tomorrow the committal service of our brothers remain. And so I solicit your prayers as we go forward throughout this day. And we need prayer. Pastors need prayer, you know, and ministers, everyone needs to pray one for another. So I'm requesting your prayers as well. In the book of Genesis, this is where we are. Now, I felt pressed. I really wanted to get the word out today. And so here we are. In the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter, it says, "And Esau," verse 34 and 35, "and Esau was 40 years old when he took wife Judith, the daughter of Barak the Hittite, and Bashma, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah." Isaac and Rebekah, Esau's mother and father. "And the thought of this is a hairy situation." And I don't plan to be long, but This is a Harry situation. It's a Harry situation. Yes, it's a play on his name. The term Harry situation is used to refer to something that is, some might say it's exciting. Oh, that's a Harry situation. Or worrying and somewhat frightening. So even though something could be exciting, it don't mean it is good. All right. You might think your son or daughter driving is a bit hairy. We see our children driving or, you know, and it's a bit exciting to see them. You want to move out the way, worrying or somewhat frightening. My daughter drove us to Magic Mountain. Now, I love roller coasters. I've backed up away from them over the past year. But that don't mean I won't get on one. And I like roller coasters. I like the craziness of them and all that. So I like Magic Mountain. So we went to Magic Mountain. And I will get on every ride that you get on. And so that the ride there was a bit hairy and back. But I didn't say anything because this is her driving, not my driving. I put my shades on. I put my sunglasses on. And I went to sleep. I'm not going to worry about it. You know, you're driving, you know, because she is the one driving, not me. Now, what I thought was dangerously close, scarier than the roller coaster itself, risky and even unpredictable. But she was in control of the car. She was driving. Now, so my opinion of how I would drive and how she drove is different, Now, I've met some husbands that have talked about or how they were, or I've heard some wives or girlfriends say that every place they go, their guy, he has to drive. He won't let her drive. Now, I remember one sister saying, what do you think I was doing before we got married? I drove myself. So what make you think that I can't help drive? You know, and they were driving across country. And because of his stubbornness or pride, whatever you want to call it, they got multiple tickets because of his driving, which became hairy. He became hairy. And so we have to be careful in what we do. Now, Esau name, as I said earlier, or as I alluded to, means hairy. He has now gone beyond his parents' wishes. Maybe you did something once or many times growing up that was not what your parents were hoping for. It's not what they were looking for, but here you are. You're doing that very thing that they did not want to see you do. You did what you wanted to do, and it grieved your parents. I recall the grief of my mom, the things that she experienced as a parent, and what I heard, you know, what I seen, the sadness that I saw, the worry that I saw in her face because of the knuckleheads. And I call all of us knuckleheads, yes. My brother, my sister, myself, my youngest brother, knuckleheads, just knuckleheads, doing things that we should not do. Now, sometimes people do things and because they don't get caught, but there's a residue of what you've done. But because they're not caught immediately. And so because they're not caught immediately, then they feel they got away. And they also feel like they have a right to point the finger at others. Let's use an example of a young lady that gets pregnant. She's out. She's been promiscuous. She's having sex and unprotected sex. And let me tell you something, because I was talking with someone the other day and I was talking about the fact that you have people that go out and they do these things. And specifically, we're talking about adultery and how people go out and have unprotected sex and then come home. And then when they found out, you know, they don't want the repercussions of what they have occurred. You need to get a physical. You need to get checked out and make sure that you don't have anything. And if you're trying to make amends in your marriage, and your spouse decide that he wants to make amends and he wants to use protection until you get a complete physical, if he even go that far, you need to respect that. instead of trying to say you don't trust me and all. No, you did something that you thought you're getting away with, and you don't know what's on the inside of you. Because when it comes down to certain things, the results of it may be deep on the inside. Knuckleheads. And so when a young lady may be promiscuous and she gets pregnant, well, the gentleman too, it's not one-sided. So they are having unprotected intercourse and she's now pregnant. And so you have the other girls that are also doing the same thing, but yet they did not get pregnant, but they want to talk about the one that did. And that's how it is with many people. They got away with it and they want to point the finger at those that did not. You got to be careful about that. Because eventually the Bible says whatever is done in the dark is going to come to the light. It's something, somebody knows what you're doing. Somebody knows and they sees it and they hear it. And you know, the signs are all there. The signs are there. And you may not know it because you're so caught up in what you're doing. You're caught up in the sweetness of the secret. You know, the Bible also said bread eaten in secret is sweet. Oh, but when you find out about it, it becomes very bitter. And so Esau did some things that his parents was not happy about. It grieved them. It made them very upset. Just as you may have done some things that made your parent upset. It could be something simple as dropping out of college. Your parents have saved up and they've taught you. Maybe everyone don't have the money to send their kids, but they taught you how to fill out the paperwork so that you could get the grants, so that you could get the student loan and attend and better yourself. And you get there and you drop out. You do something to mess it all up and it becomes a burden. It becomes a burden. And so it grieves the heart of those that was trusting you to do the right thing. Now, we're all in the church now. My sister, you know, I said we were all knuckleheads, but my sister is an evangelist. She has a ministry in domestic violence called Better Days. And the youngest brother is a deacon in the church. And my oldest brother is an associate elder down in San Diego. And so when my mom, God bless her heart, and she was blessed. She saw what God had done in my life, and she got saved. And I laugh and I tease and say that she looked and said, oh, there must really be a God. This boy has changed. And so she committed herself unto the Lord and was faithful and joyously transitioned in 1994. But that's not the only testimony. My youngest brother, who could give you some details about how crazy my life was, when he saw change, he got saved. Now, my mom, she left a testimony that she was walking with Jesus, and that is legitimate. That's a legitimate testimony. The day before her transition, she was telling people that she was walking with Jesus, and there was nothing that discomforted her or anything. And she was gone the next day. Within less than 24 hours, she had transitioned. Those were her last words and a powerful testimony that occurred in that year, 1994. I'm so glad. I'm glad that when she left, she was not grieved. And that when she left, she knew the path that we were on. And so I appreciate what God has done. Now, Esau grieved his mom and dad purposely. On purpose, as so many of us and so many of you know what that's like. If you have children, you know when your children did something on purpose, knowing that it was going to have an impact on you. They did it purposely. And my mind goes back to some things. And I'm so glad to be past those things now of even what I've seen with my children and who are adults now. And I asked, and you may have asked why. I hope you're asking why. Why? Why did Esau do this? Why did he do it? It's important for each of us to know and understand our actions. Our actions. Now, our actions are, there's a core element to our actions. Usually we blame it on a surface element. No, don't be fooled by the surface element. That's pretty easy to do. The surface element acts as a good cover because it's easily seen by you and others. But it's more to that. The surface element is just that. It is the outer layer of what is really going on at the core. What's at the core of the issue? It's important that we get to the core so issues can be properly dealt with and resolved. Until you get to the core, and now this is why counseling is so important. People want to go to counseling, and so they go to the pastor, and pastor, I want some counseling. The pastor may only be able to go, even the best, even a good pastor may only be able to go so far with it. Now, discernment, the Spirit of God is able to go to the core of a thing. But if not, if the Spirit of God does not give the pastor discernment or give the minister discernment that is ministering to you, you need to go to someone that specializes in an area, specializes in certain areas. And the Bible tells us that if you're sick, call for a doctor. You know, that's what a sick need to go to. And so if you need a psychologist, you need someone that specializes in the psychic community, your mind, not a soothsayer. I'm talking about your mind. That really wants to get to the core of things. They're going to ask some difficult questions and they're going to dig into stuff and come up with answers that you did not come up with because you were dealing with the outer layer of things. They're going to the core of the matter. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians Chronicles 29 and 17, I know also my God that have tried the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I will willingly offer all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. The first part of this says that he's talking about God. And he said, God tries the heart. And he does. God tries the heart. And I heard this. I'm reminded of the scripture that says that if our own heart condemns us, and what about God's judgment? Issues of the heart create hairy situations. It causes you to turn off or ignore the phone calls. You know, you look at the phone and see that it's the pastor calling, so you ignore the call. Oh, pastor, I was busy. I didn't hear the phone or my phone died, you know. Or you defy orders. You defy things. Now, one thing that we don't defy too much at work when we're told what to do at work, but when it comes to the church and the kingdom of God, we don't feel like whatever the order is, people want to do it their way instead of the way God said for it to be done. He told Moses, he said, follow what I'm telling you. Now, you have to go back in the book of Exodus and look this up for yourself, but follow what I'm telling you. Don't deviate from it. And I'm paraphrasing what I'm saying, but don't deviate from the instructions. Because the instructions I'm giving you, you're going to have to pass those instructions down to others. And so you need to understand that and not deviate from that. No matter how much you reason within yourself or make excuses, you are not supposed to deviate from the instructions. 1 Samuel 15 and 22. Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. You think God wants you to bring an offering or make a sacrifice? No, he wants you to obey his voice. What is God saying? What has he said? Samuel told Saul what to do. Saul said, after Samuel left, within himself, he made an excuse, and he even offered the excuse to Samuel of why he didn't do it, instead of obeying what he was told to do. And because of that, he lost out on what God had given him. Are you obeying what the Lord is saying? Are you listening to the instructions that are being given? God's not, listen, the instructions come through the leader, not God dealing directly with you. And if he deals directly with you, he's only confirming what's being told to you. On Sunday, great message. This past Sunday, we went to a second service. There was a great message that was presented by the minister, the visiting pastor at Omni. And he said that he was given an illustration about how he asked his ministers to dress, what to do, a certain way to do things. But there was that one that did it their way instead of following the instructions. Now, I appreciated what he said because I felt the same way. And maybe you as a leader, and you've asked someone to do something a certain way, especially in the kingdom of God, you certainly want it done in the business, place of business, because it's going to impact the business. But instead of them following what you're instructed, they defy it. Well, that defiance also creates an impact. It creates a hairy situation. And so it places them outside the will of God instead of within the will. It may seem like nothing in a moment, but listen, you need to understand that defiance is spirit driven. Defiance is something that is driven by a foreign spirit. That foreign spirit is not of God. I'm talking about defying the word of God, defying in proper instructions, and defying what God is saying. You think, oh, it's just me. This is just my thought. But no, that bitterness that you feel within yourself, no, that's being promoted by a spirit, a different influence. Now, Saul and his excuses were told by the prophet Samuel, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So when we rebel, when we defy, and when we act stubborn, it says that stubbornness is the iniquity of adultery. So who are we worshiping? Who are we worshiping when we defy the orders that is being given by the leadership, or the order that is being given by the church, or the order that's being given even in the home? Who are we defying? Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And so he goes on to tell them what his consequences are. Our actions, things that cause slippery slope, hairy situations, hurt us more than anyone. When Esau married Judith, when he married these Hittite women, his parents were devastated. They were distressed. They were anguished by his actions. The Apostle Paul told the church, so if you're in the church, if you're a member, baptized believer, Holy Ghost filled, or seeking the Lord, understand something here and understand it right now. You can grieve the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. You, as an individual, can grieve the Spirit of God. You can grieve it. And so you want to be careful not to upset the Lord. Esau caused devastation in his actions, emotional, mental devastation. His parents were hurt, distressed. Now, the Bible tells us, children, obey your parents, even in the Lord. We're supposed to obey our parents naturally when they're telling us what's right. And we're supposed to obey our parents spiritually when they're telling us what is correct too. And when we don't understand something, it don't hurt to ask questions. You have to communicate. Now, if you're not communicating with your pastor, I want to encourage you to ask questions. Now, if you do have a pastor or parents that just want to shut you down, then that requires some prayer, but pastors should know to communicate and to make sure that to provide an answer. The Bible tells us to be ready to provide answers. And so it's not a just do as I say, don't ask me. No. And some of you may be of age that you remember growing up where your parents just demanded you do whatever I say do, even if it wasn't sometime logically sound, because what they were telling you may have been incorrect and you figured out a better way to do it. But listen here, communication is a key part of obedience. Now, sometimes you have to just obey. There are other times you may ask how to do something so that you can get some clarity. Now, let me give you two examples. Zechariah was in the temple and he asked, how can this be? I'm old. You know, there's no Cialis. There's no Viagra. You know, I'm up in age. My wife is up in age. And Gabriel said, listen, I stand before the Lord. And because you're asking these questions rather than believing and trusting what is being told to you, then you're not going to be able to talk until the time has been fulfilled. And so we won't go off deep into a conversation about that, no further than what I've just mentioned, because he couldn't talk. He was in silence until that time was fulfilled. So when he got home, all right, I'm going to stop. Listen, Mary asked the question, how shall these things be? How shall these things be? And I've not known a man. I'm engaged to Joseph, but I have not been promiscuous. I haven't done nothing, you know. And so how is this going to happen? Well, she had a legitimate question. Where Zechariah, his question should have been, he should have been like, oh, what? I'm going to have some pleasure here. Hey, you know, two different mindsets, two different questions. Yes, these are not the same questions. No, these are not the same questions by far, even though they sound the same. All right. And so when we ask questions, we should communicate. But in some things, you're going to have to just obey and do what's being asked of you rather than creating a hairy situation. Now I'm going to end and I'm going to read this passage of scripture, which embodies about 12 issues Esau was experiencing. And this is from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness. Now, let me start this over again, because I really want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm really want to emphasize this. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Each one of us. Every day. And that you put on a new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So if you have an issue, we're not supposed to go to bed with issues in our heart. Husband, wives, you're not supposed to go to bed angry with one another. Well, I'm asleep in the other room. Well, that's fine, but don't go to bed angry with each other. You know, we're not even going to talk about the emotional and physical and blood pressure aspects of all of that kind of stuff. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We all need an outlet. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole, if you used to steal, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not, Esau, he grieved his parents. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you have the Holy Ghost, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I'm just going to put this out there. I'm just going to say this, and we'll deal with it another time, but you may have the Holy Ghost, but if you're not living a holy life, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be saved. And there is scripture that talks about this. David said, Lord, take not thy spirit from me. All right. We'll come back to that another time. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, if you walk around some bitterness, wrath, let all bitterness and wrath, if you're walking around with some anger, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, if you're walking around with some clamor, you're all loud and carrying on, loud talking, just acting crazy and stuff, be put away from you with all malice. You got to get rid of all this hostility, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ hath forgiven you. Bless your name, Jesus, mighty God. Esau, through the scriptures that we just read, I can see at least 10 different things in the life of Esau that are displayed in this passage from Ephesians that would have made a difference had he adhered to those different things that we've just read from the Word of God. Each of us should examine ourselves and make sure that we're not creating or that we're not involved in some hairy situation. We're not on a slippery slope. Or we're not doing something that is displeasing to our brothers, our sisters, our parents, naturally and spiritually. All right. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray and ask that you would bless each one that have taken the time of their schedule, Lord God, to tune in to hear your word. Lord God, and those that will be listening later, I pray and ask that you would bless them, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to stay away from situations that are not right. Esau did the things that he knew was not pleasing to his mom, to his dad, those things that he knew would cause and inflict emotional, mental distress upon them. He did it purposely. He created a hairy situation. Lord God, I pray and ask that you would bless each one of us, Lord God, to consider our ways. Think about what we're doing and not do things that are going to hurt anyone or even hurt ourselves. Help us to walk according to your will. In the name of Jesus, we'll be careful to give you praise and to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Again, remember us in prayer as we are commending our brother unto the Lord. And the Lord say the same. We'll be back on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with the word of God. There's nothing greater than his word. The Bible said heaven and earth would pass away, but his word is going to stand. His word is going to stand above everything. And so if we apply that word into our lives, you should see a difference. God bless you.